Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I understand that it got clumsy at the end. There's no question about that. But, we were in good conversations. We wanted to do everything that we could to provide Coach Taggart the opportunity to remain here. And then when that, went away, we turned the page.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
We interrupt this football conversation with a Mikal Bridges slam and then a block at the other end. What a talent.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Lakers have it taken away. Oubre finds Beal for the two-hand jam. So Beal still has enough spring in those legs after 43 minutes and 51 points to get up and pack it. And the Wizards are going to win this one tonight. Beal sets an all-time record. Mark an opponent in Portland with 51 tonight.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson on this fine hump day edition. Big day here on The Fan. Not only Dusty and Cam in our show, but today at 3 o'clock will be the beginning of Isaac and Zook's Radiothon. And it's such a great cause with Special Olympics Oregon. We feel very privileged and honored to be teamed up with such a great cause and a great company. And there's a lot to look forward to today. We're going to talk a ton of sports. And I know in the first day of this, Isaac and Sue get to some sports stories mixed in with the Radiothon. But that's going to be kicking off at 3 o'clock. So we're pretty pumped about that. But there's a lot to get to today. I had somebody, Dirt, before we get into the Oregon stuff, because Rob Mullen spoke. I listened to that presser here on The Fan. Willie Taggart had his press conference. I actually just want to pull a couple things for what he said about Oregon and leaving it.
And the Duck players are responding to his press conference as well.
It's not going well. The players are reportedly asking for one individual to be the head coach.
Yes, they are.
And then Tyson Alder is going to join us at 12:30 today. Before we get to all of that, I'm going to take a selfish move here.
Okay, what do you got?
I had somebody that follows me on Twitter yesterday, and I've been completely lazy. Because, well, it's me, and I don't feel like being a journalist.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
And somebody sent me a picture that I guess is circulating on an Oregon State-related website.
Okay.
Not sure which one it is. And I don't know if this is doctored, if this is Photoshopped, but the picture looks legit to me.
Uh-oh.
And that picture is a name tag reading Mike Riley, assistant coach.
There you go.
And it's in the Oregon State facility. Yes.
See, now, and this is the interesting part. Now, we've had this conversation a few times off the air about Mike Riley coming back to Corvallis. And you have been not adamant against it, but it's not something that gets you jacked up as a Beaver fan. I love this. I think it would be awesome if he came back to Corvallis as an assistant coach. Look, it's clear that his days as a head coach in major college football are over. He's getting paid a lot of money to not coach football right now. He wants to move back to Corvallis. It's where he's from. It's whether he coaches there or not, that's more than likely where he's going to be living. There are far more positives to having him as an assistant coach on that staff than negatives in my mind. Like, some people are worried about the overshadowing and you don't want him around and maybe his mind will be elsewhere. I don't buy any. He's an Oregon State Beaver. He always has been. I'm going to rule those 3 years out at Nebraska. He's an Oregon State lifer, and I think it would be great to have somebody with his experience on that staff.
Now, I'm going to say something with no experience of Photoshop at all.
Okay, what do you got?
This photo looks pretty damn legit.
You're buying into it that it's Mike Riley?
No, I know it. The tag says Mike Riley, assistant coach, next to a Beaver logo inside the facility. But I don't know. I've seen photoshopped pictures before, and you can, yeah, that's not that guy's body, or that's not that chick's body. That's a head on somebody else.
Right, right.
This doesn't look like that. This looks like somebody was like, oh, hey, preemptively, Mike Riley, assistant coach. They just haven't announced it yet.
Comcast had one of those yesterday with when the Willie Taggart news broke. They tweeted out a Photoshop picture of him in Florida State gear.
Yeah.
And his head was like the size of a balloon. It's like, all right, can we do a better Photoshop job here? Not fooling anybody. We know that photo doesn't exist.
It's better than, what was it, Bleacher Report? They did the picture when Taggart's name was surfacing first time.
They never got the picture right.
They did Michael Johnson, the assistant coach.
They just found another black coach on the Oregon staff and tweeted it out.
Hey, Bleacher Report, not all black people look the same.
That's not Willie Taggart.
Google Willie Taggart. You'll realize very quickly that's not him.
Yeah, and I threw this up. Like, literally as we were going on the air, I put this up as a poll question. And I'm curious how Beaver fans feel about it. Like, I know it was never going to be a reality that he came back for a third time as head coach. Never going to happen.
That was never a consideration is what I was told.
And we could all agree on that. Never was a thought on their mind. The assistant coach thing to me it's really appealing. It really is. He knows how to recruit to Corvallis. He knows the area.
Well, he does, and
I mean, I know it failed a little bit towards the end there, but let's not act like his whole tenure was bad.
No. What I was going to say is his assistants were really good of their heyday.
And that's absolutely true. But just having somebody with head coaching experience, I think that was one of the criticisms of Jonathan Smith when he got the job, is this guy, I mean, he's an offensive coordinator for a couple of years. Is he ready? And every coordinator that makes the jump from that position to a head coach is going to go through that criticism. So having somebody with some experience behind him, I think it's a win-win for Oregon State.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I mean, the guy doesn't have any head coaching experience. He's coming from Washington. It's his alma mater, so you know that there's a little extra juice to it, right? A la Willie Taggart at Florida State.
Sure. Like,
there's that connection for Jonathan Smith, and it's probably deeper because he actually played for that team. The only concern for me is just sometimes if you get in these weird situations where the team has big decisions to make. And again, I think Riley's the personality that steps aside and says, hey, this is your program. You do what you feel is best. Sometimes, though, you get stuck and go, hey, what would you have done here? That's a dangerous territory.
And I see where you're coming from there. Right.
And I'm not saying Smith would do that. It's just I would have the concern, does that happen?
Yeah.
But offensively minded, I know their offense was very inconsistent. And Tanner Lee had so many stupid interceptions this year. Statistically, when he has a new quarterback, the second year that that kid plays in the system, it's night and day. It really is. It's Matt Moore. Go look at Matt Moore's numbers. Sean Mannion, the steps that he took year in and year out as a starter with that system.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't even say the system is broken. Hell, we don't even know what his role would be. So I think he has something to offer from a football perspective. It's just the concern for me would be, One listener points out, are there still recruits that need to cycle out? I don't think there are anymore, if I'm not mistaken. And two, what is the capacity of the role and how reliant is somebody like Smith on Mike Riley?
Yeah.
That's my concern.
Those are all valid questions. Those are, if he's not an assistant coach, would you be okay with him being in the administration in some form? Because that's the thing that's been floated out, right?
Yeah, I've long said that if Barnes ends up ever leaving Oregon State, which if you build this thing up and make it respectable, he's probably going to get another gig somewhere bigger. I have been long a proponent of Pat Casey or Mike Riley as an AD.
Sure, bring him back.
Absolutely.
Let him run the athletic department. So in some form, he needs to be back.
Get to your message, though. Get an Oregon State guy in the AD role that you know, he's 73, 72. He's got about 8 to 6 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's not going anywhere.
Well, and that's a big part of being an athletic director is raising money. And I still think, you know, look, as bad as it was for some Beaver fans when he left, and there were a lot of them that were calling for him to leave. And I think it was a breakup that was, it needed to happen. Like you go through how long was it? 15 years or 16 years after he came back from the NFL. It was a long time. And it needed to happen. And I think time heals all wounds. So Beaver fans that were against Mike Riley as a head coach when he left, I don't blame them at all. It was shown in the face of their argument that the grass isn't always greener on the other side because Gary Anderson didn't do squat replacing him, and now here we are with Jonathan Smith. So I think you let bygones be bygones. You welcome him back, and whether it's in the administration role where he's shaking hands and raising money, helping hire coaches, or whether it's as an assistant coach, I think both of those would be a great success for Oregon State.
Yeah, this listener points out, too, this another example of what I'm talking about, Sean Canfield.
Yeah.
What he was with the system.
I love Sean Canfield as a college quarterback. He was a lot of fun to watch.
He was good.
If you think back of like the last 15 years of Oregon State quarterbacks, his name doesn't get brought up enough.
It's hard though because Mannion's got all the numbers.
I mean, there were some good ones.
Derek Anderson was pretty freaking special.
That he was. I'll never forget Canfield in that 09 Civil War though.
Yeah.
Him and James Rogers were unstoppable. Like you could every time he would throw it to him every play it felt like, and there was nothing you could do to stop.
That's what made that game so good.
It was a great game.
It was a very balanced teams.
Yeah.
I got a picture of Mike Riley, and I don't know, the name says Mike Riley, assistant coach. Take that for what it's worth. Who knows if it's photoshopped? I'll tweet it out. If you want me to tweet it out, I'll tweet it out right now at Brandon Sprague.
Send it up.
You can see it. You can judge it for yourself.
You got Twitter sources.
Yeah.
Run with it.
Yeah. Kind of a little bit. It's going to be a good show today. There's a lot to get to. I mentioned Tyson Alger at 12:30. Let me open my show sheet. I got here really late today.
You got a sick kid, man. You got a kid that's vomiting, and apparently you can't send your kid back to school if they vomit.
So she vomited 2 days ago. She actually vomited on my birthday. My nighttime of my birthday ended up not going at all how it was planned. She ended up getting sick.
Yeah.
She woke up the next morning. I'm really hungry, energized, happy. Okay, you're good to go to school. Fed her. Off she went. Hour and a half after I got into work. Your daughter's not feeling well. I said, oh, yeah, that makes sense. She threw up last night. I then got yelled at by a school administrator.
How dare you send your kid to school?
The rule is, sir, 24 hours. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Just next time, don't admit to the vomiting.
We got her picked up.
Yeah, she didn't vomit. She's all right.
The wife's job is really flexible. She works at Providence. She can be flexible at times, so she picks her up, right? She vomited again yesterday, midday.
Ooh.
By the end, she's feeling good. She's eating. Woke up this morning. She's fine. She's not sick anymore. It's like a bug. The wife wanted me to miss the show today and stay home, and I actually had planned to.
Yeah, you told me yesterday, like, hey, there's a chance I'm not here tomorrow.
And I ended up finding somebody to watch her. The sister-in-law agreed to watch her, and the wife is pissed at me right now for it.
Uh-oh.
Like, legit, very upset that I did not miss work to watch the daughter because she missed work or she went home.
Uh-oh.
So now it's like, well, you think your job's more important type thing.
See, and that's always a hard play with a significant other is the importance of us missing work. It's not easy. Like, if you could just blend into the background and we're just, you know, sitting in a cubicle for 8 hours, it's, you know, you come and go and maybe it's not as big of a deal. But when one of us isn't here.
Oh, it's not like we can necessarily work from home with our job.
You know, hey, if I could, I would.
Yeah, if I could just do a pot, you know, hey, grab me a microphone. I'll do it from home and watch the kid. That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not here. You're not here.
Well, and if it was spring and summer, I totally would. I'd text you guys like, hey, I can't come in today. I got to use a sick day. We have them. We don't use them.
Right.
So I would have no problem with that. Just right now, the thick of everything that's going on, I had to find somebody to watch the daughter.
It's too juicy. Your wife Lynn needs to understand this, okay?
Well.
Come on, we need to understand this.
I still love you.
This is an important time. I even got talked to you the other night with all this Taggart stuff going on over the weekend. I've been glued to my phone for, you know, a good 4 or 5 days.
I told you to put it on notifications.
Look, there's a lot going on. I'm trying to track all this stuff. And there was that, you know, you haven't been paying attention to me the last couple of days. It's like, well, listen, I'm a little stressed. My coach is leaving. Stanton might be a Giant. Just let me get through this period and everything will be okay. I promise.
All right. We got a good show today. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. Let's start with the Oregon AD. Rob Mullen spoke to the media yesterday following Willie Taggart's decision. What's his timeline for the new coach? How does he feel about Taggart? We'll bring Rob Mullins to you next. You got Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. 12:18 on the Fan. Welcome back in. Hope you're enjoying your hump day. Loving the weather this week. We got a cold, sunny weather going on here. I like that vibe. I didn't even tee up the show. I'm not one that usually likes doing that just because I'm always afraid that if I say, hey, we're going to talk baseball batting average 115, you're going to go, well, 115, turn Dirt and Sprague off.
Oh, you don't want to talk baseball batting averages?
No, but I do want to talk about Portland getting a team that already exists because Woo-hoo! It should happen.
Could happen.
We'll also talk about USC. Our friend Ryan Abraham has a crazy idea that I actually would totally understand. So we'll get to that. We've got NFL Challenge today because we don't have a show tomorrow.
No, we do not.
And Stat or Story. We have a lot to get in today, my man.
Yes, we do. And then I'm going on vacation on Friday for just about a week. So this is our last show for a while together.
And we will talk about that because there's something about that vacation I want to address.
Ooh.
We'll bring this up. I think Swigert's going to have 2 cents on it, too.
I'm intrigued. Oh, yeah. Look, I needed 2 days to, you know, as I had planes, trains, and automobiles all over the weekend.
We all need to unplug, my man.
So I did. I unplugged quite a bit on Monday and Tuesday, although I couldn't avoid the Taggart stuff, but there you go.
Well, nobody could avoid the Taggart stuff, especially the AD, Rob Mullins, who now cannot unplug because he has got to get on his high horse. And, yes, he does have a high horse. And he has to now find the next head coach for the Oregon Ducks. So Willie Taggart is gone.
He needs to go cloak and dagger, though. I don't think this can play out too much.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because he can't afford anybody he asks who might say thanks but no thanks to get anywhere near a media source.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. And I don't necessarily disagree with that at all.
So everybody who's wanting to know everything, I would feel much better if I was a Duck fan. If working ahead to the bowl game, I think the bowl game here playing early actually helps them and it gives them some cover. And I don't want to see Mullins, if I'm a Duck fan, until he's ready to make that press conference and announce a hire.
Well, and that's a good thing I think they have moving forward is they're not just going to take shots in the dark here. And that was the one benefit of having just at least an idea that Willie Taggart could be leaving. And something I hammered home yesterday that when you have an idea that this could be coming, they've done their homework. They know who they want to go after. And I think they've reached out to people behind the scenes and said, hey, if this job opens up, is it something that would interest you? Would you be interested in coaching Oregon football? And I think all of those no's have basically gone off the board. And they're not going to go after anybody at this point that I think just going to emphatically, publicly come out and say no. I think they've narrowed their list down to guys who showed interest in potentially coming to Oregon if there's an opening, and now it's just down to deciding on which guy they want to go after.
I think it's a lot like Oregon State in the sense of I think they have a list of people they know are yeses.
Sure, you just got to decide which one's best.
And you have a couple big ones that you're going to ask about, and you'll find out very quickly whether it can happen or not.
Yeah.
Let's get to Rob Mullins. We aired the press conference yesterday on The Fan, but in case you missed it, he said quite a bit, one of which, we don't have this cut, but this really stuck out to me. Willie Taggart said on Friday he had not been contacted by FSU officials.
Yes.
He contacted Rob Mullins Thursday night to tell him that he had been contacted by Florida State.
They reached out on Thursday.
And Florida State reached out to Mullins themselves on Thursday before Willie Taggart talked to him.
So he lied to the press.
So he lied there. Not really anything surprising about that. But let's get to here. Rob Mullins talked about this, kind of got sloppy a little bit, and Rob Mullins gave his 2 cents on that.
I understand that it got clumsy at the end. There's no question about that. But, you know, we were in good conversations. We wanted to do everything that we could to provide Coach Taggart the opportunity to remain here. And then when that, you know, went away, we turned the page.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. It ended very poorly, obviously. A lot of people unhappy and just kind of feel betrayed because when Rob Mullins talked to Willie Taggart about bringing him on, he thought this was a long-term deal.
Obviously, with the progress that we made, continuity is important when it's going well. When we sat down a year ago, you know, there was a pledge for a commitment and a vision for long term. And it was one that we believed. Obviously, that's not what happened. So we'll be back out there again, and we'll have those same conversations. We might have to take a little deeper assessment on how we view those conversations.
Yeah, again, this might have just been a one-off for Taggart where dream jobs opens, he leaves. Otherwise, this might have been a long-term thing.
Well, and that's the main thing that I want to bring up today is I don't want Oregon to make a hire out of fear. And that's my major concern about their next step. And look, I get it sucks to get a coach who preaches future, preaches this is his dream job, this is where he wants to be, he wants to win a national title here, he's selling it to recruits, and you feel like you found the right guy in your last coaching search, and then he leaves you and dumps you after 1 year. I get it. It hurts. It sucks. We're all mad as Duck fans, and I totally understand it. But I do kind of feel like this is a one-off situation in terms of just the quickness of it. This reality exists for every program. As Florida State just found out, Jimbo Fisher won a national title at Florida State, one of the best jobs in college football. He left for Texas A&M. Money was a part of it. His kid's health was a part of it. Didn't feel like he had the support he wanted. I get other different things go into it, but there's not many stops that coaches sit around for 20 years anymore. It just doesn't happen in college football. So the notion that Oregon is a stepping stool job or that, you know, you want to go find a guy that's not going to bounce after 1 year, this was a unique circumstance. I firmly believe in my heart of hearts that the Florida State job did not come open. Willie Taggart's here for 5 years, if not more. It was just a strange situation where his dream job opened up, and there's a lot of us that would have been hard to say no to a situation like that.
Well, before I play Mullins here and his thoughts on it, how big is the local connection? It seems to be, and I saw this, again, I think there are some similarities here. I saw this with Oregon State, and now I'm seeing the same thing with Oregon. You lose a coach, and you have to replace somebody. Everybody's, like, instincts kicks in, especially in this region, because we just haven't had the same coaching changes happen since the 20s.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Everybody goes, bring this person back. Go get this person lived here. Get, like, the local tie stuff is a big deal to a lot of people.
Well, and that's where I say I don't want them to make a hire out of fear, because that's, you know, I've heard Justin Wilcox's name floated out a ton. I think Justin Wilcox has a bright future. He did a great job at Cal this year, and I think he's taking that program in the right direction. If you believe that he's the guy, if you believe that he is the best option to be your next head coach, then I think you should go out and hire him. But if it's only because he's from the area and he went to Oregon and it's a situation where you don't think he's going to leave, that's not a reason to go out and hire somebody. And that's what I'm cautiously hopeful Oregon does not do. You need to go out and hire the best coach. If you hire Kevin Sumlin and say, let's pie in the sky, he wins a national title next year, he could leave too, but you still have to be willing to take that risk. And I, as a fan, I'm okay with that. There's going to be moments like this where a coach leaves after 1 year, or you're going to have some down. This is just going to happen. It comes with the territory in college football. But I would much rather have them gambling, rolling the dice, and going out and getting the best guy they believe for the job, instead of just simply playing it safe and finding somebody local that you think is going to stick around, because the ceiling might not be the same for the program.
Should be noted, you go get Justin Wilcox, you're doing literally the same thing Florida State with Taggart. So for all the people
upset. You poached
him
after 1 year at Cal.
1 year at Cal, he goes to what maybe he labels it his dream job because he lived in Oregon. You'd be doing the exact same thing. So right. Something the outrage would be shifted now, and
right,
it's okay for you.
Well, and one of the, I mean, when we went through this with Oregon State and Corey Hall, because a lot of the players wanted him to be the head coach, they started a petition, they wanted him to be the guy. And that's the other thing. Don't make a reactionary decision by the recruiting class and by what the players are saying. They're going to have passions. They've played for those coaches, so I completely understand where they're coming from. They don't know what it would be like to play for an outside coach. All the Oregon State players that said they wanted Corey Hall, they're sticking around and they're going to play for Jonathan Smith. They're going to be fine. He's a good head coach, and everything's going to be okay at that program. Don't overreact too much just to the voices, because I continue to see this on Twitter. Recruits and players are coming out saying, give it Levitt, give it Cristobal. Again, it goes back. If you think they're the best guy for the job and you think they're the best person you can hire for the next 5 years, go for it. I'm okay with that. But don't do it out of pressure of just being scared of upsetting the football players.
Here is Rob Mullins' thoughts on the local connection with Oregon.
We have a whole long list of criteria. And obviously that's a bonus. But that's not where you start, because that narrows the pool. We want to have a diverse pool, a broad pool. And we will have that, you know, but if in the end there's, you know, someone with ties, you know, that's a bonus, but it's not at the top of the list.
And I think that's an important thing, man. That does not have to be the most important thing. I think everything you said on picking out absolute spot on. Don't pick out of fear.
Yeah.
Pick the best candidate.
Go find the guy you think's best for the job.
Just make the team as good as you can. That's got to be the thought process there. We'll play more Rob Mullins audio, and then Willie Taggart gave his thoughts on Oregon at his presser today, and then I want to address the wanting of Oregon players that we heard here on The Fan this morning and who they want to be the head coach. We'll address all of that, but first, we'll talk with Tyson Alger. Yes, former friend of the show is back on the airwaves. Tyson Alger, OregonLive.com. He joins the show next to give us his thoughts on Willie Taggart leaving and where Oregon stacks up. We'll do that next. All right, welcome back in. Busy day here on Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. And this was funny because last night I was in the DMs with our next guest, and we were talking about rekindling romances.
He slide into his DMs.
Well, sometimes you got to bring back the old flame, and that's what we're going to do today with our friend Tyson Alger, OregonLive.com on Twitter, at Tyson Alger is where you can find him. How you doing, man?
You know, it feels right. It feels right.
It does feel right.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic, man. We've missed you this season, but for obvious reasons, we could not link up, but it's good to have you back on the station. Let's just start with the Willie Taggart leaving to Florida State, and now Oregon fan is pissed, and Oregon is looking for the head coach. Where do you think they're really looking? What if Tyson was to really guess, who is the person that he would circle and say that's probably their number one? Just a shot in the dark.
Man, if I was looking in-house, I think Mario Cristobal is probably leading that charge. I know he's the guy that a lot of the players are definitely on board with. He has a major recruiting background, and I think that's kind of one of the biggest concerns for the Ducks right now is, you know, you got this signing day coming up here in a couple of weeks, and Cristobal is gives them a little bit of continuity there. But if you were to look outside the program, you know, it's the tough thing about how this all went down is pretty much all of the coaching, the coaching carousel pretty much ended about 2 weeks ago or so. That's when everything was kind of coming up and people were shuffling around. But I think someone is definitely a target for them. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they took a look at Wilcox over at Cal. You know, I think a big thing for this hire is going to be for them to hire somebody that has local ties here. They don't want to have another one-and-done guy. I think they really want to have somebody that feels about Oregon the way Taggart felt about FSU there. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if they decide to go after Wilcox.
That'd be really interesting. You know, you had a chance to be there yesterday at the facility, and you tweeted out one of the most depressing photos I've ever seen. I think
Boy,
it was
did he
Royce
ever.
Freeman staring up at the video board, and there's Willie Taggart leading the team onto the field. Man, it was depressing. And look, I've seen differing opinions from players. Some players supporting his decision. Some players, Troy Dye, just saw 10 minutes ago or earlier today tweeting that, you know, he lied straight to his face. What was the just kind of mood with the players and the reaction that you saw from them yesterday?
You know, it was very mixed. You know, I got the impression from some of the older players, especially some of the guys that might not be coming back next season, that they completely understood. I mean, they know this is a business. They know the situation for Taggart and how it would be hard for him to pass up his dream job. And they also know what loyalty did to the last Oregon Ducks staff. You know, Mark Helfrich's dream job was the Oregon Ducks, and he got canned 2 years after going to a national title game. I think it's probably a little tougher for some of the younger guys, you know, guys that are going to be around the program for the next few years, especially some of the guys that were brought in here by Taggart. Oregon has a large amount of kind of Florida kids on this roster that came in late with Taggart last season. And so I think there's I think a lot of guys understand, but I just think the way it went down over the last week or so may have left some sour taste in mouth, as obviously evident by that tweet from Troy Dye.
Yeah. Tyson Alger is our guest. OregonLive.com is where you can find his great work, and he's on Twitter at Tyson Alger. You mentioned Mario Cristobal, and your colleague Andrew Nimick also mentioned that here on The Fan about how players are just kind of rooting for Mario Cristobal to get the gig. You mentioned recruiting, the recruiting ties he has, and, you know, you got the early signing period coming up here on the 20th, and then you have the signing day, and just what can you salvage with the 18 recruiting class? I want to step away from the recruiting of players, and I want to ask, if Cristobal is legitimately a candidate, how do you think he would be in recruiting the coaches to not leave and follow Willie Taggart, namely a Jim Levitt, a Joe Salavea, et cetera?
I do know that Cristobal is very, very well respected amongst the staff. You know, he's a very personable guy. I don't think there's a harder worker on that staff, so I don't think it'll be hard for him to kind of set an example for other guys. As for, you know, exactly the relationships he has with all the other staff, I mean, I would completely expect some of the other guys to head back to Florida with Taggart. I mean, there's several of them that have followed him through two or three stops and have ties down there. So that wouldn't completely surprise me. But, you know, I think Cristobal would be a good head of a program, and I think he has a lot of respect. And, you know, I think people would definitely at least hear him out to stay on the staff if he was promoted to that position.
You know, and that was the other one. I mean, yesterday with the Taggart news coming out, and then shortly after that, the Jim Levitt stuff starts to swirl around Twitter. Everybody says he's gone. He's following him to Florida State. Then Levitt tweets out last night, you know, not so fast. And we know he's obviously going to weigh his options, and he wants to be a head coach at some point again. What are we hearing, and what's the latest on the Jim Levitt situation? And no matter who the head coach is, his chance at sticking around in Eugene.
I think Levitt's going to choose to do whatever puts him in the best position to become a head coach somewhere else again. and whether or not that's still remaining as defensive coordinator at Oregon or that's trying to go for Oregon's head coaching position, I'm not quite sure where his mind's at. As for what he's going to end up doing, I know there were the reports yesterday about him leaving. Obviously, he kind of refuted that a little bit on Twitter. I think they're still in a bit of a holding pattern right now. He might be waiting to see if he gets an offer from Oregon for the head coaching spot. As for him as a fit as Oregon's head coach, it would definitely be a change. You know, Oregon's had offensive-minded head coaches for, decades at this point. And, I think the tough thing with him as head coach is, it's baked right into his contract that he has interest in Kansas State. I don't know how much he actually likes it in Eugene. I know he puts out that persona on Twitter that he loves it here, but this is a guy that has ties somewhere else too, and so I think that would be a little bit of a crapshoot too, because you don't want to have another one and done coach after this year.
Yeah, the Oregonian's Tyson Alger is our guest. Let's take the players' thoughts, feelings. Let's take that away. Oregon State players wanted Corey Hall to be the new head coach of Oregon State. Sometimes players are tied in with emotion and relationships, and it doesn't always mean that that's the best decision for a program. Just your two cents, your gut feel. Who is the best person in your opinion to lead this Oregon program?
Man, that's really tough, because I completely agree with you guys on you don't want to just go with the emotional reaction from the players. You know, these are guys who, they just lost their head coach, a guy that they were very close with, and Cristobal represents some continuity for them. I don't know how he is as an X's and O coach. It's been several years since he was a head coach, and I just don't know there. But I definitely think it would be very smart for them to see what's available out there. You know, sometimes names pop up that you might not expect right out of the gate. We're only about 24 hours into this thing, so. But I would be very surprised if they don't give someone in Wilcox a very long look here. Mm.
Well, what's the timetable you're hearing? I mean, I know behind the scenes, Oregon has mentally prepared for this, and they knew it was a reality. And Rob Mullins talked about that yesterday. And I'm assuming they're going to want to move quickly with the signing day coming up. What's just kind of your guessing game on the timetable of how long it'll take to find this next guy?
I would assume they try to get something done within the week or within a week. It's just, this is way too important of a time. I know it was, I know it wasn't necessarily an easy decision for Taggart. And I think if he would have had his way, it wouldn't have been 2 weeks before signing day, but it was, and it's completely kind of thrown Oregon for a loop, because I think just whatever decision they make could have lasting impacts on the program for years to come, depending on what happens with this signing class and if they're able to kind of shore up some of the once elite class that Taggart had recruited here.
Do you think anybody in that administration, the athletic department, do you think they learned anything about their program from this whole ordeal?
I think they learned that you can't necessarily just bring somebody in from out of the blue and expect them to think that Oregon is as important as everybody here thinks Oregon is. I think it definitely showed that Oregon's an elite program, but it's not the very top of the elite programs. FSU is a better job than Oregon, and that's even before Taggart's ties come in. I just think the tough thing for them is, they're going to want somebody who's loyal, but if I'm a coach, I'm a little wary of that, just seeing what happened with the last loyal staff. So, I think that what's transpired over the last 2 years is something they can learn from, but it's kind of a tight rope to walk there.
You know, one of the things I think that's a positive that has kept Duck fans going here the last 24 hours or so is the group that they have coming back, no matter who the coach is, really talented team. Has it changed? Is this whole last 24 hours and what's going on, has it changed your opinion on what the 2018 Ducks can accomplish on the field?
No, not at all, really. If I'm a coach, I look at that roster and I see 9 to 10 wins, especially with the schedule coming up. I think that's probably an alluring aspect of this job, because Justin Herbert, if he's healthy the whole year, I legitimately think Justin Herbert can be a Heisman candidate if the Ducks are good. There's not many programs you can walk into where you have a third-year starting quarterback who's as good as Justin Herbert is. A lot of those pieces on the defense are coming back next year. You know, this defense jumped from like 130th in the country to, I think, like 35th or something like that. And obviously, most of that's on Levitt, but it also helps that you have improved players like Thomas Graham at corner or Jordan Scott in the middle, who got much better as the season went on. So,
This isn't like it was a year ago when, you know, you were kind of looking at the depth the Ducks had, especially on defense, and you went like, "Ooh, this might be tough, a tough sell for somebody." I really like what the Ducks have, and if I'm a coach, especially who's looking to jump into instant success, I think it's a good job.
You know, I've thought about this a little bit, and it kind of feels like an impossible thing to answer, Tyson, or even have a reaction to, but it's just something that I've been thinking about for a week now since Taggart and Florida State stuff started picking up. You can't change the defensive coach hire. Jim Leavitt was just a grand slam of a move by Taggart. Obviously, the staff put together and what they've done in recruiting. But just on the field product, we saw this team. Justin Herbert on the field, 50 points a game. Justin Herbert off it, 14.8 points per game. I mean, the difference was drastic. If it's Helfrich, if they decide to stay loyal and they stay to their men of Oregon, is this season much different in terms of outcome to you?
I'm offensively, no. I don't think the defense would have been, you know, nearly as good this season had Helfrich remained and they kept the current who was it, Hoke at the time as a defender.
yeah, Brady yeah, Hoke, yeah.
I just don't see that turnaround on defense there. I think they would have been better on defense just because like players like Troy Dye and so on were a year older. But I honestly don't think the offense was any better because of Taggart. I think the offense was better because Justin Herbert was in year two and Royce Freeman was healthy and all four of those freshmen on the offensive line were a year older too. You know, I didn't necessarily – I'm going to be pretty straightforward in saying, you know, I'm not a huge X's and O's football game – or football guy, but I didn't see anything specific with Taggart's offense that made you go, oh, this is way more advanced than what Helfrich was running. I think it's just right. The fact that you had, you know, a once-in-generation quarterback coming out of Eugene playing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why we bring him on. Good stuff. Tyson Alger, OregonLive.com on Twitter at Tyson Alger. It's good to have you back on our station, man. And thanks for hopping on today to talk about the Taggart Oregon stuff.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right, there we go. It's nice to have Tyson back here on 1080 The Fan. We couldn't have him on for certain contractual reasons. That's all I'll say about that. But I want to move on. We didn't play the rest of Rob Mullins, his thoughts on Oregon. We'll wrap up the Oregon stuff, and then we'll move on. We actually have some breaking news in the NFL I want to get to.
That we do.
I want to talk about the Blazers, who are maybe the strangest Blazers team I've ever seen.
They suck.
USC may benefit for doing this for themselves, so we'll talk about that. All that is coming in hour two, but coming up next, is Mario Cristobal the choice you want? Should Oregon listen to what the players want? We'll get to that next on The Fan. 12:50 on The Fan. Welcome back in. Loaded second hour. Just 12 minutes away. Nice to hear from our friend Tyson again. Let's wrap this up. We've talked a lot of Oregon. And look, rightfully so. They've had a new coaching hire. It was a pretty big deal. I want to get to this. This was from Rob Mullins. We didn't get to it. So the plans for the staff moving forward, there was a report by Steve Mims, who is actually, he's a really good beat writer down in Eugene. I don't think he just runs with stuff to run with stuff. He was on with Isaac Ntsuk yesterday. He tweeted that Jim Leavitt was going to leave Oregon to join Willie Taggart. And the reason I want to play this Mullins clip, because I think it leads into this, this is what's interesting. Leavitt is very anti that report. And now people are coming out and saying, hey, maybe that isn't true and you're just doing it for clicks. This is why I'm not going to quite rule this out. Tyson said specifically, Jim Leavitt's probably going to make the best move that's going to help him get the next head coaching job.
He wants to be head coach and you can't blame him for that.
I know he established something good here in Oregon, but if you said go to Florida State and coach up a dominant defense, what sets you up for a better gig? I don't know. Maybe you think it's Oregon, but I'm not ruling out Florida State yet.
The tough part there is I don't know what Florida State has coming back.
Well, Derwin James is gone.
Derwin James is their best player.
They have another defensive lineman leaving.
So that would be the only, I don't know what kind of talent they're bringing back on that side of the ball. And he knows what he has at Oregon. I think Oregon's defense is going to be very good next year. There's some fear that Jordan Scott's going to transfer because he's from Florida and he was retweeting some stuff yesterday, but we'll see if he ultimately makes up his mind on that. But if Jim Leavitt's back next year, I mean, he had the 30th ranked defense in the country this year, which is crazy to think about, and it was an extremely young group. I think he has one of the best defensive players in the conference, and Troy Dye, who's an absolute stud, He's going to be back anchoring that defense. The secondary was mostly young. His corners are freshmen. Like, he's returning a lot of talent. So it's hard to answer that because I just don't simply know the pieces that Florida State's bringing back on that side of the ball.
Well, here's Rob Mullins and his thoughts, their plan for the staff.
Obviously, we have an outstanding staff. I mean, that's, you know, the success that we've had on the field, the success in changing the culture, and the success we've seen on the recruiting trail is we have an outstanding group of assistant coaches. And we're fortunate to have a couple who've had head coaching experience. It's just the way it worked out from a division of responsibility standpoint that, you know, Mario was the choice. Obviously, we had plenty of great options and folks that will be head coaches. And there's a number of coaches on our staff who have head coach capability, and we certainly would want to talk to those.
And the players today now are all kind of the recruits, not all the players, some players, a lot of the recruits are now kind of voicing their backing of Mario Cristobal as the next head coach. Here was Andrew Nemec, who was on this morning on the morning show, and his reporting from what he has gathered about Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, Oregon is very careful about who you can and can't talk to. And while I understand that with this kind of situation, kids naturally want to know what's going on. So I had a few players reach out to me that I've been close with over the years and kind of say, what do you know? Here's what I know. Because they're nervous and they're young kids. I think there's a growing sentiment in that program. The players certainly expressed it to Rob Mullins in a meeting that they would like Mario Cristobal to remain the head coach.
Yeah, so some players are now asking for Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, which, hey, I can't blame them at all. Oregon State went through the same exact thing with Corey Hall. Oregon's going to go through it now. The fears over the recruiting class aren't quite there for me yet. A couple of kids are going to decommit because they're from that area, and hell, a couple of them were committed to Florida State, and Willie Taggart flipped them to come to Oregon. Yeah, they're going to go to Florida State. But I believe as of now, the number of kids that have decommitted is only at four, and so it's not extremely high, and I believe two of those kids have already come out and said, look, Oregon's still on my list. I just want to see who the next head coach is going to be. I just want to see where this thing's going to shake out. So I understand the pressure. I understand you want to try and keep the recruits happy and keep the players happy. It doesn't mean you need to cave to them and hire the coach that they want. And the thing that I'm optimistic about in this whole process is I really do trust Rob Mullins. You know, last year he made a controversial decision to some to hire or excuse me, to fire a staff that had been around a long time. A lot of assistants that had been there for generations. And he said, you know what? We need a fresh start here. The program's stale. Things are down. Recruiting's not working. We were 4-8. Let's change course. A lot of people didn't like that decision. A lot of people did not like when he hired Willie Taggart, who's this no-name out of South Florida. I remember the headwinds that I faced and just being optimistic about it and saying I thought it was a good hire and it would work out for Oregon. A lot of people disagreed and said this guy's not the guy. He's not ready for a Power 5 job. I trust Rob Mullins, and that's where I don't think he's the type of AD that's just simply going to say, you know what, we need to keep this recruiting class together, so we're going to promote Cristobal. If he promotes Cristobal or if he promotes Jim Leavitt, he's doing it because he thinks they are the best candidate for that job.
Well, Willie Taggart held his introductory press conference today. They really they pulled out everything, all the stops to welcome him to Tallahassee. He was drove in last night. They had a video out. Here was him at the press conference thanking everybody at Oregon.
I also like to thank Rob Mullins, President Shill, Mr. Phil Knight and Pat Kilkinnon at the University of Oregon for believing in me and allowing me to have an opportunity to come out to that great university and be a part of that. Really, really great people and Eugene, and a really, really hard decision for me because the people were so great. I had a great boss, great support, and it was hard, and it was really hard because of the players. You know, I had a great relationship with my players, and I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for them. So I like to say thank you to them and appreciate them. And again, it wasn't an easy decision. It was really tough on me.
Always makes me feel weird. I'd like to thank the players. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. Yeah. I wouldn't be getting $30 million while they don't get a dime if it weren't for them. I lied to them.
It's weird.
I didn't tell them the truth.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, I've seen a lot of folks who have either tweeted or texted in saying these players need to move on. Because Troy Dye came out and said he lost all respect for him. Nick Pickett, a safety, came out basically said the same thing. Like, we're not going to feel any sympathy for you. A couple of the recruits echoed that same sentiment. And some folks are saying, you know, these guys need to move on. Stop obsessing over your ex. And we had somebody text in and said there's no right way to handle this. And I tend to agree with that. When you go through a coaching search, this is not easy waters to navigate for anybody that goes through it. The one thing that I will say, and I'm surprised it's taken coaches this long to figure it out, and look, maybe it hurts you in the short term, just simply being honest and upfront with everybody from start to finish, I think would resolve a lot of this issue. If he came out at his press conference on Friday, I know he didn't want to, but if he came, Taggart at his press conference Friday said, you know what, Florida State reached out to me, I got to listen, it's my dream job, I don't know where it's going to go. We would have said, yeah, all right, sounds about right. Yeah. If he sat down with the recruits and said, you know what, look, Florida State's my dream job, there's a chance I'm not there, I don't know where I'm going to go, I promise I'll be in touch with you with my decision. You don't have this same level of backlash. When you lie to people, it's the same people when you have these allegations about sexual assault or steroids or whatever. The people that come out and they own up to it immediately and say, you know what, I did it, sorry, I'm going to try and learn from my mistake, we tend to forget about them. It's the folks that lie about it, that drag it out. Those are the ones that we don't end up appreciating or liking. And that's the way I feel about Taggart in this situation. The folks that are going against him, it's not this bitter ex-girlfriend stuff. It's that he sat in their living room 72 hours ago and said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to this university. You're going to be a duck. I'm going to be a duck. And then poof, he's like a poof of smoke, and he's gone, and he's at Florida State, and I can't blame him for being mad.
All right, we have a loaded second hour, a lot to get to, and we're going to start with the Blazers, who lost to the John Wallace Washington Wizards. Yes, Bradley Beal set a Moda Center record, 51 points, broke a record currently or formerly held by an NBA legend. Last night, the Wizards beat the Blazers. What the hell is wrong with this Blazer team, and what is the solution? We'll kick that off hour two, Dirt and Sprague, next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.